Guardian Unlimited.
Wolf Brother by Michelle Paver is read by Ian McKellen and brought to you by audible.co.uk. Listen out for next week's instalment.
Chapter 23. "Be very, very quiet," whispered Wren. "Any sudden noise and it might wake up." Torak craned his neck at the ice cliffs towering over them. He'd seen ice before, but nothing like this. Not these knife-sharp crags and gaping gullies, these icicles taller than trees. It was as if a great overarching wave had been frozen by one touch of the world spirit's finger, and yet, when he'd caught sight of the cliffs from the scree slope, they seemed just a wrinkle in the vast, tumbled river of ice. After letting Wolf rest for a day by the lake, they'd plodded over the marshes and up the scree, where they'd camped in a hollow that had given scant shelter from the wind. There had been no sign of the bear. Perhaps the masking charm had worked. Or perhaps, as Wren pointed out, the bear was in the west, wreaking havoc among the clans. Next morning they'd climbed the flank of the ice river and started north. It was madness to walk beneath the ice cliffs when at any moment a snowfall might obliterate them, but they had no choice. The way to the west was blocked by a torrent of meltwater that had carved a deep blue gully. It was impossible to move quietly. The snow was crisp, and their boots crunched loudly. Torak's new reed cape crackled like dead leaves. Even his breath sounded deafening. All around he heard weird creaks and echoing groans, the ice river murmuring in its sleep. It didn't sound as if it would take much to waken it. Strangely, that didn't seem to bother Wolf. He loved the snow, pouncing on it and tossing lumps of ice high in the air, then skidding to a halt to listen to lemmings and snow voles burrowing under the surface. Now he stopped to sniff at an ice chunk and patted it with one paw. When it didn't respond, he went down on his forepaws and asked it to play, whining invitingly. "Shh," hissed Torak, forgetting to speak Wolf. "Shh," hissed Wren up ahead. Desperate to quieten Wolf, Torak pretended to spot some distant prey by standing very still and staring intently. Wolf copied him, but when he caught no scent or sound, he twitched his whiskers and glanced at Torak. "Where is it? Where's the prey?" Torak stretched and yawned. "No prey." "What? Then why are we hunting? Just be quiet." Wolf gave a small, aggrieved whine. "Come on," whispered Wren. "We've got to get across before nightfall." It was freezing in the shadow of the ice cliffs. They'd done what they could while camping by the lake, stuffing their boots with marsh grass, making mittens and caps from Wren's salmon skin and the rest of the rawhide, and a cape for Torak from bunches of reeds tied with marsh grass, then stitched with sinew, but it wasn't nearly enough. Their supplies were getting low, too. One water skin, and only enough dried salmon and deer meat for a couple of days. Torak could imagine what Farr would say. "A journey in snow is no game, Torak. If you think it is, you'll end up dead." He was painfully aware that he didn't actually know much about snow. As Wren had said with her usual unflinching accuracy, "All I know is that it makes tracking a lot easier. It's good for snowballs, and if you get caught in a snowstorm, you're supposed to dig yourself a snow cave and wait till it stops. But that's all I know." The snow deepened, and soon they were wading up to their thighs. Wolf dropped behind, cleverly letting Torak break the trail so that he could trot in his footsteps. "I hope he knows the way," said Wren, keeping her voice down. "I've never been this far north." "Has anyone?" said Torak. She raised her eyebrows. "Well, yes, the Ice Clans. But they live out on the plains, not on the Ice River." "The Ice Clans? The White Foxes, the Ptarmigans, the Narwhals. But surely you..." "No," he said wearily, "I don't. I don't even..." Behind him, Wolf gave an urgent grunt. Torak turned to see the cub leaping for cover beneath an arch of solid ice. He glanced up. "Look out!" he cried, grabbing Wren and yanking her under the arch. An ear-splitting crack, and they were overwhelmed by roaring whiteness. Ice thundered around them, smashing into the snow, exploding in lethal shards. Huddled under the arch, Torak prayed that it wouldn't collapse. If it did, they'd be splattered over the snow like crushed lingonberries. The ice fall ended as abruptly as it had begun. Torak blew out a long breath. Now all he could hear was the soft settling of snow. "Why did it stop?" hissed Wren. He shook his head. "Maybe it was just turning over in its sleep." Wren stared at the ice piled around them. "If it wasn't for Wolf, we'd be under that right now." She was pale. Her clan tattoos showed up lividly. Torak guessed that she was thinking of her father. Wolf stood up and shook himself, scattering them with wet snow. He trotted a few paces, took a long sniff, and waited for them to join him. "Come on," said Torak. "I think it's safe."
"Safe," muttered Wren.
As the day wore on, the sun travelled west through a cloudless sky. Puddles of meltwater appeared in the snow, more intensely blue than anything Torak had ever seen. It grew steadily warmer. Around mid-afternoon, the sun struck the cliffs, and in the blink of an eye, the freezing shadows turned to a stark white glare. Soon Torak was sweating under his reed cape. "Here," said Wren, handing him a strip of birch bast. "Cut slits in this and tie it round your eyes. Otherwise you'll go snowblind." "I thought you'd never been this far north."
"I haven't, but Finkedin has. He told me about it."
It made Torak uneasy to be peering through a narrow slit when he needed to be on his guard, when every so often a slab of snow or a giant icicle thudded down from the cliffs. As they trudged on, he noticed that Wren was lagging behind. That had never happened before. Usually she was faster than he was. Waiting for her to catch up, he was startled to see that her lips had a bluish tinge. He asked if she was all right. She shook her head, bending over with her hands on her knees. "It's been coming on all day," she said. "I feel drained. I think it's the Nanwak." Torak felt guilty. He'd been concentrating so hard on not waking the ice river that he'd forgotten that all this time she'd been carrying the raven skin pouch. "Give it to me," he said. "We'll take turns." She nodded. "But I'll carry the water skin. That's only fair." They swapped. Torak tied the pouch to his belt, while Wren looked over her shoulder at how far they'd come.
"Much too slow," she said. "If we don't make it across by nightfall..."
She didn't need to add the rest. Torak pictured them digging a snow cave and cowering in darkness, while the ice river heaved and groaned around them. He said, "Do you think we've got enough firewood?" Again Wren shook her head. Before heading for the scree slope, they'd each gathered a faggot of firewood and prepared a little piece of fire to bring with them. To do this, they'd cut a small chunk of the horseshoe mushroom that grows on dead birch trees and set fire to it, then blown it out so that it was just smouldering. Then they'd rolled it in birch bark, pierced the bark a few times to let the fire breathe, and plugged the roll with beard moss to keep it asleep. The fire could be carried all day, slumbering quietly, but ready to be woken with tinder and breath when they needed it. Torak judged that they had enough firewood to last for maybe a night. If a storm blew up and they had to dig in for days, they would freeze. They trudged on, and soon Torak understood why the Nanuak had tired Wren. Already he could feel it weighing him down. Suddenly Wren stopped, yanking the birch bast away from her eyes.
"Where's the stream gone?" she breathed.
"What?" said Torak.
"The meltwater. I've just noticed. That gully's gone. Do you think that means we can get out from under the cliffs?"
Taking off his own birch bast, Torak squinted at the snow. He couldn't see for the glare.
"I can still hear it," he said, moving forwards to investigate. "Maybe it's just sunk further under the..."
He got no warning. No crack of ice, no whoomp of collapsing snow. One moment he was walking, the next he was falling into nothingness. Chapter 24 Torak jarred his knee so painfully that he cried out.
"Torak," whispered Wren from above. "Are you all right?"
"I think so," he replied.
But he wasn't. He'd fallen down an ice hole. Only a tiny ledge had stopped him tumbling to his death.
In the gloom, he saw that the hole was narrow. He could touch its sides with his outstretched hands, but fathomless. Far below, he heard the rush of the meltwater torrent. He was inside the ice river. How was he going to get out? Wren and Wolf were peering down at him. They must be about 3 paces above. It might as well be 30. "Now we know where the meltwater went," he said, struggling to stay calm. "You're not that far down," said Wren, trying to encourage him. "At least you've still got your pack." "And my bow," he replied, hoping he didn't sound too scared. "And the nanwak." The pouch was still securely tied to his belt. The nanwak, he thought in horror. What if he couldn't get out? He'd be stuck down here, and the nanwak would be stuck with him. Without the nanwak, there would be no chance of destroying the bear. The entire forest would be doomed. Doomed because he hadn't watched his step. "Torak," whispered Wren, "are you all right?" He tried to say yes, but it came out as a croak. "Not too loud," breathed Wren. "It might send down another snowfall or close up the hole with you inside." "Thanks," he muttered. "I hadn't thought of that." "Here, try to catch hold of this." Leaning perilously over the edge, she dangled her axe head first, with the shaft strap wound around her wrist. "You couldn't take my weight," he told her. "I'd pull you down. We'd both fall." "Fall, fall," echoed the ice around him. "Is there any way you can climb out?" said Wren, beginning to sound shaky. "Probably, if I had the claws of a wolverine." "Claws, claws," sang the ice. That gave Torak an idea. Slowly, terrified of slipping off the edge, he unhitched his pack from one shoulder and checked that he still had the roebuck antlers. He did. They were short, and their roots had jagged edges. If he could tie one to each wrist and grip the tines, he might be able to use the roots as ice picks to claw his way out. "What are you going to do?" asked Wren. "You'll see," he said. He didn't have time to explain. The ledge was getting slippery beneath his boots, and his knee was hurting. Leaving the antlers in his pack until he needed them, he took his axe from his belt. "I've got to cut notches in the ice," he called to Wren. "I just hope the ice river doesn't feel it." She did not reply. Of course it would feel it. But what choice did he have? The first axe blow sent splinters of ice rattling into the chasm. Even if the ice river didn't feel that, it must have heard it. Clenching his teeth, Torak forced himself to strike another blow. More shards crashed down, the echoes rumbling on and on. The ice was hard, and he didn't dare swing his axe for fear of toppling off the ledge. But after much anxious chipping, he managed 4 notches at staggered intervals as high as he could reach, with about a forearm's length between each one. They were frighteningly shallow, no deeper than his thumb joint, and he had no idea if they'd hold. If he put his weight on one, it might give way, taking him with it. Shoving his axe back in his belt, he took off his mittens and felt in his pack for the antlers and the last strips of rawhide. His fingers were clumsy with cold, and tying the antlers to his wrists was infuriatingly difficult. At last, using his teeth to tighten the knots, he managed it. With his right hand, he reached for the notch above his head and dug deep with the jagged edge of the antler. It bit and held. With his left foot, he felt for the first foothold, just a little higher than the ledge. He found it and stepped onto it. His pack was pulling him backwards into the ice hole. Desperately, he leaned forward, pressing his face into the ice, and regained his balance. Wolf yipped at him to hurry. Snow showered down into his hair. "Stay back," Wren hissed at the cub. Torak heard sounds of a scuffle. More snow trickled down. Then Wolf gave a peevish growl. "Just a bit further," said Wren. "Don't look down." Too late. Torak had just done so, and caught a sickening glimpse of the void below. He reached for the next handhold and missed, snapping off a crust of ice that nearly took him with it. He fought for the handhold, and the antler bit just in time. Slowly, Slowly he bent his right leg and found the next foothold, about a forearm higher than the one he'd stepped onto with his left. But as he heaved himself onto it, his knee began to shake. "Oh, very clever, Torak," he told himself. "You've just put all your weight on the wrong leg, the one you hurt in the fall." "My knee's going," he gasped. "I can't..." "Yes, you can," urged Wren. "Reach for that last handhold. I'll grab you." His shoulders were burning. His pack felt as if it was filled with rocks. He gave a huge push and his knee buckled. Then a hand grabbed the shoulder strap of his pack and he was half pulled, half pushed out of the hole. Torak and Wren lay panting at the edge of the ice hole. Then they heaved themselves up, staggered away from the ice cliffs and collapsed in a drift of powdery snow. Wolf thought it a huge game and pranced round them with a big wolf smile. Wren gave way to panicky laughter. "That was far too close. Next time, look where you're going." "I'll try," panted Torak. He lay on his back, letting the breeze waft snow over his cheeks. High in the sky, thin white clouds were stacking up like petals. He'd never seen anything so beautiful. Behind him, Wolf was clawing at something in the ice. "What have you got there?" said Torak. But Wolf had freed his prize and was tossing it high and catching it in his jaws in one of his favourite games. He leapt to catch it in mid-air, gave it a couple of chews, then bounded over and spat it out on Torak's face, another favourite game. "Ow!" said Torak. "Watch what you're doing!" Then he saw what it was. It was about the size of a small fist, brown, furry and oddly flattened, probably by an ice fall. The look of outrage on its little face struck Torak as inexpressibly funny. "What is it?" said Wren, taking a pull at the water skin. He felt laughter welling up inside him. "A frozen lemming!" Wren burst out laughing, spraying water all over the ice. "Squashed flat!" gasped Torak, rolling around in the snow. "You should see its face! So surprised!" "No, don't!" cried Wren, clutching her sides. They laughed till it hurt, while Wolf pranced around with a joyful rocking gait, tossing and catching the frozen lemming. At last he tossed it extravagantly high, made a spectacular twisting leap, and swallowed it in one gulp. Then he decided he was hot and flopped into a pool of meltwater to cool down. Wren sat up, wiping her eyes. "Does he ever just fetch things instead of throwing them in your face?" Torak shook his head. "I tried asking him. He never does." He got to his feet. It was turning colder. The wind had strengthened and the powdery snow was streaming over the ground like smoke. The petal-like clouds had completely covered the sun. "Look," said Wren beside him. She was pointing east. He glanced round and saw clouds boiling up over the ice cliffs. "Oh, no," he murmured. "Oh, yes," said Wren. She had to raise her voice above the wind. "A snowstorm!" The ice river had woken up and it was angry.
The first three books in the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness series by Michelle Paver are available to download at audible.co.uk for the special multi-buy price of $14.99 until the end of August. If you enjoyed Wolf Brother, you'll want to join The Clan, the official worldwide fan site for all readers of the Chronicles of Ancient Darkness series. The Clan is where thousands of fans just like you meet for games and chat, role-playing, art competitions, writing contests and quizzes. Best of all, it's free. So go to www.torak.info, that's TORAK.INFO, and join The Clan now.
Guardian Unlimited.